take a look at another worship service that I think we can learn a whole lot from. I've picked out some lessons there that will help us in living better Christian lives, worshiping the Lord better. Nehemiah chapter 8 is where that other worship service is found, Nehemiah chapter 8. And as you flip there, I do want to say again that we are so appreciative for your attendance here. We're grateful for our members and visitors who have joined us today for this worship service. Worship is designed by God to be such an important aspect of our relationship with Him. Always, God has had clear guidelines for these worship services. Never at any time has God said, you know, just do whatever you want, do whatever feels good, whatever you want to give me in a worship service is fine by me. At no point has God ever said that. And I think that point needs to be much more squarely found in people's minds, that God really, really does have some guidelines, some stipulations, some commandments for how we should worship Him. We're going to see some of that in Nehemiah chapter 8. I hope you're there in your Bibles. We're mainly going to be in the first 12 verses of this chapter here for so much of this morning's lesson. First, I want to get you to see the assembly that comes. The assembly, united and ready and prepared and eager. These are a few of the words that come to mind when I think about these folks who are here assembled for this worship occasion. It begins in verse 1 of Nehemiah chapter 8. All the people gathered themselves together as one man. So they come united. They come for the reason, for the purpose of worshiping God. They're all on the same page here. There is tremendous unity in their assembly. And they speak to Ezra. They want the word of God to be presented to them. They ask Ezra to go get the Bible, go get the book of the law of Moses, and you present that to us. So these people are here, remarkably, to know what God's word is. Assemblies are filled with people today all across the country and sure the world who don't really want to know what God's word says. I say that with a heart full of respect and love. I know it to be the case, though. I'm not being mean about this. I know this is the case. I know there are lots and lots of people who've gone to church buildings today who don't have a primary interest in knowing what God's will for their life is. They have a primary interest of maybe being made to feel good. Who doesn't like to feel good? Of course, we all love to feel good. Some churches specialize in that. They will go to a lot of effort to make you feel good. And we can appreciate on some level the commitment to this. Now, where it gets troublesome is when someone's willingness to make you feel good is contrary to what God wants. And this happens a lot of times, a lot of places, where the primary focus is making people happy. And as a result of that, you know, there are some things in the Bible that just won't make people feel good. And so we're going to skip over those things. There are some things that people need to hear that they might not necessarily want to hear. So we're going to focus on the what do you want to hear side of things. I love the fact that in this assembly, Ezra chapter 8 assembly, Nehemiah chapter 8 assembly, I beg your pardon, Ezra's the preacher here. It's found in the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 8, these folks here are assembled together, and what they want to know is exactly what God's will for their life is. A spoiler coming up here. They learn some things from this Bible preaching that they don't like to hear. They learn some things from this Bible preaching that changes their lives. They learn some things from this Bible preaching that makes them, in the moment, feel very, very sad and not happy at all. But they are astute enough to know that they need to follow God's word because it's only God's word that's able to save us. So they come together as one, men and women, equality throughout this congregation here. It's not just made up of people who think other folks need God's word. There are a lot of churches like that. There are a lot of Christians like that who think the preacher really needs to hammer it down and give it to people who are over there. Or you need to let the other folks here know how they ought to live. This assembly here, Nehemiah chapter 8, that they're all in with finding out individually what God wants. Men, women, anyone who could hear and understand God's word, they come together as one. They ask for it. They're ready to receive this message from the Lord, understanding, as I'm sure they did, that it's God's word. God's word directs and shapes our lives. We have to conform our life to God's word. There's no such thing as conforming God's word to our life. We have to make sure that we are living according to the Bible. We're not going to pick and choose from the Bible those things that seem to fit comfortably into our life. These folks are here. They're here ready. They're here prepared and eager and united, ready to hear God's word. And it's a beautiful thing. That's their assembly. I want you to notice, number two, the attention. The attention that they pay to God's word here. As Ezra brings it forth at their request, remember? He preaches, and he does so from morning to midday. I love and I appreciate this, especially now in a day and age where a lot of churches are cutting back on their worship services, where a lot of churches are cutting back on the time that they spend together worshiping God. I appreciate here that these folks are here ready for a long time to be able to hear God's word from morning to midday. They're willing to stand there and listen to these words from God. It's that important to their lives, and we appreciate and value the value and respect that they place on God's word. You know, lives are incredibly busy, and it seems that the churches oftentimes bear the brunt of everyone's busy life. Your boss at work, he's not telling you to do less at work so that you can be more available for your family. The extracurricular activities, they're not coming together and they're not saying, hey, spend a little less time here with us. The bands aren't saying that. The football teams aren't saying that. The schools aren't saying that. Spend a little less time with us here so that you can do more for your family. These things aren't being said by these extracurricular activities. And yet, a lot of churches are changing things up on their side of things. Cutting out, that's what I'm talking about. They're cutting out things. They're not doing things anymore. And it's a sad sight to see. These folks here teach us a good lesson about how we should be attentive to God's word. They were. As Ezra stands up, he's on a platform, raised platform, kind of like I am this morning. Ezra stands up. He's above the people. They see him open the book. And out of respect, this is not something that has to be done everywhere, but out of respect, they stand up, as verse number 5 lets us know. Out of respect, again, that's what we're seeing here. We're not seeing specific guidelines for our worship service today. We're seeing the way they worshiped then and the respect that they have. They stood, they raised their hands, they bowed their heads, they worshiped the Lord, and they do so with great reverence and respect, with attention, with focus on what's happening in the moment. I spent the past 2 days at the ECEC youth event. Good event, my first time to be there, and I thoroughly enjoyed the time spent there. more than once, a whole lot more than once, I saw folks on their cell phones during the devos and the worship services, during the singing. They're checking the scores of the football game. And I'm not just talking about the kids. Now, the kids were on the phones a whole lot. But the parents, the chaperone, the adults, they were back there kind of checking things out on their phones as well. And a few announcements were made. You know, Andy got up there and said, "Hey, let's put the phones away for a little bit. I mean, can we do that for a little bit while we focus on the words of the songs that we're singing, while we pay attention to the speakers who have prepared their lessons and are delivering these lessons to us? It's a sign of respect to that person who's up there leading singing or reading the scripture or presenting a lesson. But even more than that, it's a sign of respect to God. After all, we're telling ourselves that we're here to be more of what God wants us to be. And there's a mixed message somewhere in there. If we can't get off of our Messenger or our Facebook app or our Instagram app long enough to focus on what God wants us to do and be, there's a bit of a mixed message. And I'm happy to report to you this morning that in this worship assembly that we're reading about from Nehemiah chapter 8, these folks were here, they were united, they were ready, they were willing to pay attention. And number three, their assembly, their attention, their application. That's what comes next. Now notice how good of a thing we've got here in Nehemiah chapter 8. It starts with a whole lot of people who want to come together to worship God, and we see that they want to focus on this and pay attention to it. And then here's what we're going to notice. We're going to notice that they make marvelous application to their lives. They listen to God's word, and they find ways to fit God's word into their life, to apply God's word into their life. I enjoy very, very much preaching. I like it. I enjoy it a great deal. I also enjoy listening to sermons, as I was able to do at ECEC. And listening to sermons teaches me a whole lot about preaching sermons. I enjoy both sides of the sermon, the delivery as well as the listening to it. And one of the things I learn about sermons while listening to a sermon is it's impossible for the preacher, it's impossible for the person doing the talking to make a point that is equally impactful and motivational to everybody, right? As preachers, we sometimes think we've got that knack. Oh, I can say something that's going to just motivate everybody in here. I can say something that's going to create that aha moment for everybody in here. I can make a point so great that everyone will pick up on it and be motivated to live their life for the Lord better. And so often, that's not the way it is. There's one guy doing the talking, and there's a lot more people doing the listening, and so it's not always possible for that one thing to be said. Sometimes it's a series of things. Sometimes what is said needs to be taken and mulled over in my mind. What's said by the preacher there, I need to take, and I need to use that as the starting point for my consideration of what's being taught here. Preachers try to make application of the things that they say. Sometimes those applications hit. Sometimes they don't. Preachers use illustrations as they present God's word. Sometimes those illustrations hit, sometimes they don't. So there is a two-way street of responsibility going on in a service like this. As Ezra is standing up there preaching God's word, he has the responsibility to do his job right. And what that entails is taking God's word and accurately communicating that. Not changing it up, not ignoring things that need to be brought out. Ezra's job is to open up the book and present the law of the Lord. And Ezra does his job. And it's the job of the people listening to that. It's the job of the people who are reading and studying from their Bibles to find the ways it best applies to them. Listen, we all know each other pretty well here in this room. But I'll tell you something. You know you a whole lot better than I know you. Just like I know myself a whole lot better than you know myself. So I know better than anybody else. I know better than anyone else what in my life needs to change to be more godly. You know better than anybody else what in your life needs to change to be more godly. You know better than anybody else how points that are being made from the Bible and the presentation of the Bible fit into your life. You know how these things should motivate you to be your best self, and you're the best person who knows that about yourself. Ezra here is presenting God's word. Look at Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8. He reads in the book of the law of God distinctly. He gives the sense of it. He causes them to understand the reading. Ezra is being very specific in his preaching here. I love this. There are a lot of flowery terms that a preacher could get up and throw around. There are a lot of general statements a preacher could get up and make. God is good, grace is magnificent, sin is bad. You need to live for God. You need to get rid of sin. These are very general statements. Super safe in just about any building that calls itself a church. You could get up and talk about God's grace and how lovely and wonderful it is, and that would be well received. In just about any building that calls itself a church, you could get up and talk about how bad sin is. You know, sin is really, really bad. The wages of sin is death, and you shouldn't do it. Now, where things get a little more interesting is when you get specific about these things. When you talk about God's grace in specific terms, and you talk about God's grace propelling us to do works for the Lord, Ephesians 2:8 is a marvelous verse that lets us know we're saved by grace through faith. And when you really break that down, and especially bring in verses 9 and 10 of Ephesians 2, that let us know that we are recreated in Christ to do good works for Him. So God's grace allows me to wipe my slate clean, but it's not a do-over for my life to do whatever I want to do now. God's grace wipes my slate clean so that I can be a new creature for Him. And when we talk about sin, and specifically sins of great personal closeness to people, sins that hit really close to home, sins that maybe affect people we love, like denominationalism, like immodesty, like bad language, like worshiping with instrumental music when we talk about these things in a specific way. Oh, then it's not as warm and inviting. You know, then is when people decide they don't like what they're listening to. Ezra, check out what he did. He read from God's word, gave the sense of it, caused them to understand the reading. He made sure that they knew what God wanted them to know. And they did their job too. They applied the verses that Ezra was reading. They're listening to God's word being preached, and I want you to see in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 9, that they're weeping, they're mourning, they're sad when they hear the words of this law. And the reason why is because they had drifted so far from it. They were not doing the things that God wanted them to do. Specifically, as you roll in here also, Nehemiah chapters 9 and 10, Ezra chapters 9 and 10, you see that these folks, specifically here, they were in unauthorized marriages. Now, these folks, as they're listening to God's word, they're learning that the people that they've married are people that God said, you can't marry. And it's hitting them. The realization of their situation is hitting home. And they're realizing that they are in a situation that God will not allow them to be in. And they're realizing that they have to separate from their unauthorized spouses. And it's breaking their hearts. These are hard things to hear, even harder things to do. But they're absolutely making application of God's word. They're hearing this message and they're learning for themselves that they're in a situation that God does not approve of. And the way to get right with God is not, let's sweep it under the rug. Let's do something real quick that will make this bad situation okay with God all of a sudden. No, there is no such thing as that. The way to make this right with God is to get out of this situation, in their case specifically. And it breaks their heart. They weep, they mourn. Later in Ezra and Nehemiah, we find that they follow through with what they know is right. Ezra tells them, Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, Ezra tells them to find joy in their relationship with God. They applied God's word to their situation. They realized that they were doing things wrong. That they resolve and they follow through with this. I'm happy to tell you, they follow through with their resolve to make things right with God. And Ezra and Nehemiah, the preachers of the day, they say, find joy, find comfort in knowing that you are now pleasing the Lord. This was their worship service. And it's a wonderful, wonderful teaching opportunity for us. We see their assembly, we see their attention, we see their own application of the things that they're learning. And I wonder about us all these years later. I wonder about us and our worship assemblies. If we are bringing as much to the table as they brought to the table. Good news is you can do that starting now. You can make sure that you focus more on pleasing the Lord, not just in worship assemblies like this one, but in our everyday life, we need to work harder on pleasing the Lord. And we can. We can take God's word and we can make sure that we study it and that we make application to it and that we show it for others. Doing this will cause so many blessings in our life. The Lord right now is inviting you to get your life right with Him. You can do it today by obeying His plan of salvation, hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized. Or if you would like instead, you can respond to this invitation as a Christian, admitting sin in your life, asking for prayers, knowing that God's graciousness will forgive you of those sins that you repent of. Also know this, we're ready to help you and do whatever we can for you while we stand and sing. Won't you come, please?
Thank you for listening to the Augusta Road Church of Christ. Located in Greenville, South Carolina, the Augusta Road congregation worships God in spirit and in truth in a friendly and loving environment. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching for Augusta Road COC. And if you're ever in Greenville, South Carolina, we would love for you to come by for a visit.